Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome on in. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin. A lot to get into tonight, Spike, including the second half of the schedule has been announced here, so we know who the Sixers are playing, when they're playing them. The All-Star announcements last night, which means Ben is in, Tobias Harris is not. But, Spike, we got to start with something that we've been talking about all week here on WIP, which is the 94 WIP Awards, the Levi's.
The Levi's.
We all love Levi.
And yes, absolutely.
It's great that we get to do this and honor Levi by giving out these awards. But the one award so far, and we're unveiling three every day this week, and three more were unveiled today, but the one award this week that really struck me, and I knew where it was going, but it didn't frustrate me. It was the voting for the best Sixers player of the last 20 years, Spike. And I don't know what the exact tally was, but I know that Allen Iverson won. And my guess is he won by a sizable margin.
He did.
Considering
he did. I got to see the votes.
How much was it? Like, percentage-wise?
He, 85%.
Let's go off that. 85% to 15. AI takes down Joel Embiid. And here is my problem with it. Not that AI wasn't a great player. It was a great player, a great Sixer.
By the way, to give Embiid respect, of course, we did the nomination process, which came before the vote.
Right.
And he did get nominations. He was the only other player to get nominated.
It was just those two.
It was just those. There were, here and there, there were a couple of others. But by and large, there was enough nominations for Embiid for us not to just award it to Iverson right off the top.
Well,
that's
not,
what I would say.
Not only should it not, you know, been awarded to him, he shouldn't have won. Joel Embiid should have won. Joel Embiid has become a better player than Allen Iverson was. I mean, that's what it is. He's a better basketball player. He's a more impactful basketball player on both ends of the court. He's one of the most efficient players in the league. He is a dominant force defensively. He is an MVP candidate this year, obviously. We've discussed that already this season. And he is playing at a time right now where it is as hard as ever to have a dominant team without another dominant player next to you. When Allen Iverson played and he had an MVP year and he took the Sixers to the finals, that wasn't what the league was then. You could have one great player and get to the finals. Now, Joel Embiid hasn't accomplished some of the stuff that Allen Iverson has yet. But the way I look at it is he's the best Sixers player that I've watched over the last 20 years. And if you put Joel Embiid in the year 2000 in the way the league was then, he'd make the finals too. And I know he hasn't done it yet here, but it's way harder to do it now in the context of this league. He's a better basketball player. He just is.
Never one to go against the grain, are you, Giglio? Never one.
Listen,
never.
I'm just trying to give the guy credit for what he deserves.
So you're saying that Joel Embiid is the best basket, the best Sixers player from 2000 to 2020,
yes.
Not Iverson. So I think we could get there one day. I think if you project out far enough, you could get there one day. But being the best in that 20-year span doesn't mean being the best for a moment. Because I think you could go back and find 10-game stretches from a lot of different players at a lot of different sports and say, if you were to hold that, if you were to take that 10-game stretch and bottle it up and extend it out through an entire career, boy, what a great player that would be.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between great players and good players and good players and fair players is the amount of time you do it and how consistently you do it. You know, I always say this, that when somebody says that they want a player to do something more consistently, they just want them to be better. They want them to do the good thing more often. And until Joel Embiid accomplishes the things that Allen Iverson did, then he can't be the best player, right? I think you could say for one game or one week that Joel Embiid has the ability to be, or maybe has been. But I think distance has made us love Allen Iverson more, but forget him a little more as well. We talk about Joel Embiid being an MVP candidate. Allen Iverson was an MVP. We talk about maybe Joel Embiid leads the Sixers to the finals. Allen Iverson led the Sixers to the finals. And I don't think it's nothing, but to be sort of like the cornerstone of a generation of basketball players, there's a reason that the players that are in the NBA today, when you ask them who the player they admired the most was growing up, it's not LeBron. It honestly isn't. And I don't say that as a slight to LeBron. It's one of two players. It's Kobe or it's Iverson.
And I've actually heard LeBron say Iverson, even though his game is not even close to the same as Allen's.
Right. I think Allen Iverson was his size as well was just such a force, was so undeniable. And as I said, did the things that Joel Embiid has yet to do. So Joel Embiid can't be better than Allen Iverson because Allen Iverson did it.
Well, he did it. But I go back to a couple things. One, I do think the era he played in was just easier to be a great player. I mean, there weren't the league is more stacked now. The good teams have more good players on them. Allen didn't deal with that. He was in a transition time when he was at his best between, obviously, Michael Jordan. LeBron came a few years later. Kobe was out west with Shaq. It just was a different time then. So I do take a little away from what he did. It doesn't pop to me like it would have popped now. The second thing I'll say on this, and then we'll go to the phone lines, 215-592-9494, AI Embiid. I believe Embiid's the best Sixer we've had in the last 20 years. And Spike thinks I'm crazy, and it's obviously Allen Iverson. But when I think about you, and you touched on it a little bit with I guess the way people feel about Allen Iverson, I think there's a perception versus reality difference here. Like, the perception is he was, and he is an all-time great player. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm not trying to take anything away from Allen Iverson.
Oh, that's what you're doing.
No, I'm not. But the perception doesn't match the player. He wasn't an efficient scorer. He was a volume player, and he was a good one. But Joel Embiid is a better basketball player. And then I'll throw this in, too, because you mentioned his size. And I think there's, like, we romanticize what Allen Iverson did because he wasn't supposed to do it at his size. And meanwhile, with Joel Embiid, and I've done the same thing when I've criticized Joel. Like, I expect more out of him because look at him. He's a dominant force. He should be great. I think that, like, that goes into our head, too. Like, look, Allen was great, and he wasn't supposed to be. Joel, well, he should be even better than he is. I don't think that's fair. It's just, it's the player you are. And I think Joel Embiid's a better player. If you were building a team and you can only have one, who would you pick?
Well, today or then? You say you're right about the efficient thing, but it was a different time. If Allen Iverson existed now, Allen Iverson would be a better three-point shooter. Allen Iverson would play more efficiently now than he played then.
There are inefficient players that play now.
I'm going to say these numbers to you, and I want you to tell me what this number represents. I'll say a few of them. 42, 43.7, 42.5, 42.5, 42.3, 43.1, 42.5, 42.7. What do you think that is?
Those are his minutes played.
Minutes played per game every season starting in 2000. And then we're talking, like, I'm not a best ability is availability guy. That's not who I am.
2 weeks ago you laughed when I said that about Joel not winning the MVP.
I said that's not who I am. But Joel Embiid, just simply the ability of doing what Iverson did for 42 or 43 minutes a game, that sort of force for that amount of time, it exhausts the other team, right? I don't think the numbers tell the story of Iverson as well as, you know, I'm an eye test guy. I've never been big on analytics. I'm an eye test guy. You watched Iverson, you were terrified of him. If you were on the other team, this is the difference between Jordan and LeBron too. When you're if you were cheering for the team that faced Michael Jordan, you're terrified all the time, 100%. You don't feel that way with LeBron, right? I think it's the same thing with Iverson. I don't know that in the last 5 minutes of a game, the other team is terrified about Joel yet the way they were about Allen Iverson. You know,
I don't think they are either, not yet. But that doesn't. I mean, there's other ways to determine who the better player is, right?
I don't know, not to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's different kinds of players. Like, were teams terrified of Shaq down the stretch of games? No, because he missed free throw shots and he was probably tired, but he did so much during the game that he was a great player. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in here. It is Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, and we're debating Joel Embiid, Allen Iverson. So AI,
I can't believe he played 42 minutes a game. I don't think I've ever even looked at this. This is wild.
It is unbelievable. Well, I think it's part of the reason why he fell off when he did. Like, think about how he treated his body. Not great. how many minutes he played, and then when he hit a wall, it was just like it was over.
He only played between 96, his rookie year, and 2008. He played under 40 minutes per game one time in a season, and it was 39.4 his second season.
He was an Iron Man.
It's unbelievable.
For his size, Iron Man, it was incredible. I just think the better player, though, is Joel Embiid. 215-592-9494. So AI ran away with the voting.
Yeah.
And mostly I think that's not fair. Like, I understand the love for AI.
I mean, it's not fair. He won the MVP, and he won the – I went into this saying, you know what?
He had a great year.
Joe has a point. I'm going to let him have his point. I'm going to tell him why he's wrong. But
he had a great year.
You sound like a crazy person.
He had one great year.
How many great years has Embiid had?
This one. This is the one.
It's 20 games.
Well, it's more than 20 games.
He's only played 21 games.
21 games. More than 20 games. 215-592-90. Well, he's playing with the deck he's handed right now, right? They've only played as a team, what, 31 games? 30?
Yeah, they're 21-11. Yeah. 32, right?
Okay, so he's played most of what they've played. And I question his durability, too. But best player doesn't always mean most durable player. Like, there are good players out there that, for whatever reason, don't play every game. I'd still rather have that guy on my basketball team than another guy.
In fairness, Iverson missed games. He just played a lot of minutes.
Yes. Sean is in New Jersey. What's up, Sean?
What's up, guys?
How we doing, bud? What's on your mind?
Hey, not much. Joe, I got to tell you, I can't even begin to comprehend where you're getting this logic from.
Well, he's a better player. Like, it's a very simple form of logic. I just think Joel's a better basketball player than AI was.
Well, there's a big flaw in your argument. You said that today's game is not like it was back then, where a player can lead his team to the finals. Kawhi Leonard did that 2 years ago. He was the only superstar on that team.
He's got a point, Joe.
He does. It's a good point.
Point number two, Allen Iverson went up in that 2001 playoff run, three Hall of Famers. You had Ray Allen, or you had Reggie Miller, Series 1, Vince Carter, Series 2, Ray Allen and Glenn Robinson, Sam Cassell. Those are some stacked teams, man.
There was, Sean, but come on. You're right that there are good players, but, I mean, like, Ray Allen is a make-believe number one. He was a great player, but you were never winning a title with Ray Allen as your best player. Like, that wasn't going to happen. Vince Carter, he's in the Hall of Fame because of volume. Like, Vince Carter was never the kind of player that Giannis is now. He's never the kind of player that Kawhi Leonard is now.
Giannis, come on. Let the guy get to the finals one time.
Giannis was an MVP. Vince Carter was never an MVP.
Vince Carter was awesome.
Dunker. Great dunker.
No, great player.
Great player. He's a Hall of Famer. I get that. But when you go to the
playoffs. You're not talking about Sean Marion. You're saying he did it because he compiled stats. Vince Carter was awesome.
He was an excellent scorer and a good dunker. But he would, like, that's not the same as today. When you go into the playoffs, you have to get. Like, this year, Joel Embiid and the Sixers have to go through Kevin Durant and James Harden. That's a different kind of level of competition. So is Kawhi Leonard. So Sean, you think this is just crazy? It's AI no matter what.
Well, not to mention the way Joel Embiid was shut down against Marcus Gasol in that series. I know he was battling a sickness too, but I just don't see it happening with Iverson. Not to mention Spike really covered most of it. MVP seasons. You said that, I believe you said, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Joel Embiid is better on the defensive side of the ball.
It's not even close.
Allen Iverson was like, the steals. Like, he was just like a...
Yeah, but he played free safety, and everyone else played real defense behind him, and he just jumped the lane. Like, come on. Like, Joel Embiid is a great...
It's part of the game.
Sure it is.
He's
not the same level of defender.
Did Joel Embiid cross over Michael Jordan? I mean, I know that
Joel Embiid is 7 feet tall.
Well, that's not Iverson's fault.
We're talking
fault.
About the greatest player of all time. He crossed him up.
Okay. See, this is what we do. We take these little moments. Sean, I appreciate it, and I respect your opinion.
He had a lot of good points.
The crossover? That didn't happen in our time frame, by the way.
That's a good point. The defense, Joel Embiid, way more effective defensively. But I'm looking through... Joel Embiid's complete play library here, and I don't see one crossover of Michael Jordan.
Here's my question, okay? Here, well, you won't find one of those. Here is my question. For all this, like, he just
tried to get an NBA top shot of Joel Embiid crossing over Jordan.
Sean brought up a fair point about the playoffs, okay, and AI, and maybe how Joel seems like he's struggled in the playoffs a little bit. He's been worse in the right playoffs than regular season. And AI wasn't like that. You couldn't just stop him in the playoffs. How many times did the Sixers get past the first round besides the finals year? Once? Was it one time with AI?
Yeah, I think it was once. Well, and he also got to the conference finals with Denver, right?
Yeah, but like that, it wasn't like a guarantee you were going deep in the playoffs with Allen Iverson. It was one special run, but it wasn't a guarantee.
It's one more special run than Joel has.
For now, we'll see how it goes. 215-592-9494. Kevin is in Mount Holly. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
Kevin, what do you think tonight?
Oh man, listen, Iverson was the whole reason why Philly cheered so hard. I mean, he carried that team. And then I just got a question for you. What do you mean when you say he's a volume player? What do you mean by volume?
Took a lot of shots to score a lot of points. He wasn't an efficient scorer.
Okay, I can agree with you there. But he scored a lot of points, and he made a lot of clutch shots in moments when the Sixers really needed him. I mean, when you're saying that, it was easier back then. You can't even foul these guys now. You can't even breathe on them. What are you talking about?
Well, it was a down
getting fouled, getting knocked to the floor, and not getting the call.
Right.
Nowadays, you can't even breathe on these guys.
It was a different game, but it was a down time for the NBA. Like there weren't as many good teams then. Like it was post Michael. Well, it's the truth. It was post Michael, pre LeBron. Like who were the great teams in the Eastern Conference? What are we talking about?
Well, I can't speak on it, you know, how many good teams were there back there in that day, because I was strictly just a Sixers fan. I watched the games just for the Sixers and, you know, to watch AI and expect him to do something miraculous every game. And just about 60 to 70% of the time, he did. All right. I don't see Joel doing any of that. Yes, he's a good player and he's really, really good, but he's got to do a whole heck of a lot more before he can even come close touching Allen Iverson.
Well, you know, Kevin, that's an interesting point. All right, let me throw this out there, because he just said there he has to go a long way to come close. If Joel Embiid wins the MVP this year, which mm-hmm. he might, mm-hmm. and the Sixers get to the finals, mm-hmm. how much more does he have to do?
I don't know, 5 more years of Sixers. I mean,
but like that, then he accomplished the most AI ever accomplished. To me, everything else would be gravy, and I think he's a better player.
I don't think everything would. Because here's what I would ask you. Let's talk about the Raptors. Who is a more historical figure in the history of the Raptors, Vince Carter or Kawhi Leonard?
Vince Carter.
Right. So because Kawhi Leonard was there one time, did something great one time, but the length of time that Vince Carter performed for the Toronto Raptors is meaningful, even though he didn't reach that same apex. I didn't want this to turn into what Joel Embiid isn't, right? I mean, a lot of the callers, Joel Embiid's one of the best basketball players I've ever seen. I think he's great and think he will, if he stays here, he will eventually surpass Allen. But I can't say because his peak is as good as Iverson's peak for a short time that he is as good. The greatness is measured over time, accomplishments, and Iverson had more than just that 1 year. He reached that apex that 1 year, but scoring 30 points a game, which Joel is doing right now, and you would admit it's easier to score in 2021 than it was
way easier
in 2004.
More pace and volume of shots. Yeah.
The threes make it all those things. It, just even the desire to get fouled, all those sorts of things. Allen Iverson has scored 30 points a game for like 8 straight years. And this is Joel Embiid's doing it one time, and Allen Iverson did it a bunch of times.
But he's
a ball-handling
guard. Like Joel, like centers are not supposed to score 30 points a game.
No, but they have, you know. Shaq scored 29 a bunch of years, and Joel Embiid's usage rate is like 36, which is as high as any guard in the NBA.
Right.
It's not like the Sixers don't have a guard to do that. So the offense runs through Embiid. He certainly gets the opportunity to do those things.
He does. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in here. It is Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio. I believe I believe Joel Embiid's a better player than Allen Iverson, and I voted him as my top sixer of the last 20 years. Spike thinks I've lost my mind here. You guys may agree or disagree. We'll talk about that. And the second half schedule is out for the Sixers. We will discuss
that. Game by game. Game by game. We're going to go game by game.
Win, loss, win, loss.
Yeah.
We might have to. We'll see what happens. 215-592-9494. It's Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio. Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin, discussing, well, the WIP Awards, the Levi's. And the Levi was given out this week to Allen Iverson as the best Sixers player of the last 20 years. And my vote went to Joel Embiid. I guess I was one of the 15 or so percent mm-hmm. that gave Joel Embiid the vote. And I just think he's a better player than Allen Iverson was. And I think he'll end up at, I think one day when this, like, well, I don't know, maybe in 2030, we'll do another one of these or whatever it's going to be, something like that. I think one day this conversation is going to change. And, like, it won't be this lopsided. If Joel keeps playing at just the level he has, I don't even think he has to jump even higher. If he just continues his career and stays healthy, like enough to play a requisite number of games, he's going to go down as he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he's going to go down as one of the great Sixers ever. And I think he'll be right there, if not better than AI.
I agree eventually. I don't agree now, but I think there's two things that could derail it. One you mentioned and one you did not. The first thing that could derail it is health.
Sure.
We keep our fingers crossed. He's been mostly fine this year. Every time they talk about back tightness, that gets me scared, and every time I see him wince, I get scared. But that's just sort of that's a Sixers process PTSD, that every time a player winces that they're going to be hurt for a year. The second thing is players move teams now more than they used to. They leave. They go if it's not working out. And I'm not predicting that will happen with Joel, but if in 2 years they haven't reached heights and he doesn't like the way that the roster is around him, it's certainly not crazy to think that he would tell them, I'm not resigning here, trade me.
Yeah, he would need longevity. That's part of this too. He's going to have to be here at least 10 years.
Yeah, around then. I think so. And remember, he missed the first two. So yeah, I think he needs this year and three more to be in that conversation.
There's also one variable neither of us mentioned that could change the equation. He leads the Sixers to a title. Hmm. I think that changes everything.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, AI didn't do that, and that hasn't happened in a long time. Vinny is in West Philly. Vinny, what's up, man?
Hey, man, listen, I was never going to call in, but to hear this blasphemy is just, I mean, I hate the
blasphemy.
Here,
blasphemy is a strong word, Vinny.
This is blasphemous, man. Dude, stop. Listen, with the spacing that you see currently in the NBA, the way the big men, you can sneeze and get 20 points. You have to be, all you have to do is be a half competent player. And it was designed this way. This isn't by happenstance. David Stern, they wanted more scoring. It was designed this way. This is the result of 20, 25 years of making the game this way. And it doesn't take away from it. And see, that's what I didn't want. I didn't want to.
But I agree with you. But basketball is more than just about scoring points. Joel Embiid is the anchor of a defense.
But I'm responding to you saying that the NBA's harder
I think you misunderstood my point. I don't mean in terms of scoring or volume or pace. I mean in terms of winning a championship. It is harder now. Super teams didn't exist when Allen Iverson took the team to the finals.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Allen Iverson went up against one of the greatest teams ever. Okay?
But not in the Eastern Conference. Vinny, not in the Eastern Conference. It was different. Like that was a down period of the NBA. It's okay. Like, we can enjoy that year and admit that wasn't a tough period to be a good team in the NBA.
If I could just finish, because I know I can't be on here long. But imagine if Embiid had to go up against Dennis Rodman, Alonzo Mourning, David Robinson, Yao Ming. It didn't turn out to go around and play against Shaq. Greatness is defined by playing great over a long or extended period of time. Listen, we've had Andrew Bynum, who fizzled out, who was supposed to be a guy. Listen, Elton Brand was a guy who fizzled out. Let's see. You have what my late brother had, God rest his soul, which is the crown syndrome. Soon as the guy's hot, we're ready to crown. I remember years ago he loved RG3. RG3's going to Hall of Fame. I said, wait. Kaepernick, same thing. We always ready to crown guys. It's a microwave society. I hate it.
Yeah, I think that's unfair. Vinny, I understand your point, and I think it's a fair one when people make those things. I mean, Joel Embiid's made four straight All-Star games. This isn't like his first time being a good player. This is his best year. But, like, Spike, it's not like he just woke up yesterday and became a good player. He's made four consecutive All-Star teams. he's on the path to greatness.
You would agree, though, that this is his first great season.
Yes.
Right?
Great, yeah. Yeah. He was very good in those other three. I mean, he's also an all-star caliber player and a starter. Like, he's not just like a guy that we're talking about at the end of the, like yesterday with Tobias Harris and Ben. Like, he hasn't been that kind of all-star. He's been an all-star.
Look, I'm not going to be mad at you like everybody else is, but I will say you're putting the cart before the horse on this one.
Well, I mean, I don't have a choice.
I don't even know what that means, but I think
I've never done either. I've never had a horse. Have you?
Yeah. No, I guess it just makes sense. You wouldn't put the cart before the horse.
What was the horse going to do? Push the cart?
Push the cart?
He needs to pull it.
Yeah. Yeah. Horse, I guess that's what it means.
Yeah. The horse would just not even just, it would walk away.
So in this case, the cart is Embiid.
I guess. I hadn't thought of the analogy that way. Let's talk to Marcus in South Philly. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Marcus, what's up?
Yeah, I just think even if what you're saying is true as far as Embiid being a better player than him one day, people will never agree with you because it's two things you got to consider. Iverson was a cultural icon. Mm. He drove the culture. I got braids in my hair because of Iverson. I mean, you had white kids out in the suburbs with braids in their hair because of Iverson. I got my shorts a size bigger. It's bigger than basketball when you speak about Iverson. Also, number two, he kind of represented Philly. Even though he wasn't from Philly, he was a Philly guy, which Philly is like an underdog city, a blue-collar city.
Sure.
He was a small guy that played big. He would dunk on you. They say he was 6'1 or whatever. If you ever saw him, he wasn't that tall.
Yeah, he's smaller than that. But he played with his emotions on his sleeve. I mean, you're right. Everything you're saying, Marcus, is true. Then that there's
right.
a reason why people love him.
Right, and that's going to be taken into consideration whenever you discuss who's better.
Marcus, it's fair. Spike had mentioned that earlier. You'd said that about young players, or, you know, players now in the NBA when they were kids, they loved him. But that's also not fair. Like, I get it. It's true. It adds to the perception over the reality. Like,
it is the reality. The reality is those players idolized him. That's not a perception.
No, but what Marcus was saying, that no matter what, Joel will never surpass him because of that. But, like, we voted on, and the award was given out for the best Sixers player of the last 20 years, not the Sixers icon. Because if it's the icon, Allen Iverson wins with 100% of the vote. But he's that we're not talking about that. I understand that's part of his – it's part of what he is.
But that's part of it. You earn that. That's the same way that Jordan earned it. Wouldn't you say that Jordan's an icon in a different way, in part because of how he played?
Yes, but he's also an icon because of what he accomplished. I'd say Allen is a icon here because of those – like the intangible stuff, the way he related to the city, the way people loved him. It's his play on the court was excellent. But it's not overwhelming. Like, he's not an overwhelmingly better player.
But he wasn't the only dude. He is the reason that the guy wore braids. But right. Allen Iverson wasn't the only guy with braids. There were plenty of people that had it, plenty of famous people that had it. It was because he was doing it. So I'm saying it's not that he made that famous. It's not that it's important because he did it. The reaction that people had to him and were drawn to him is not just because of his personality or how he looked. It's because of how great he was. And those things became bigger and became sort of a representative of what he was. I don't think you can discount that. I think that's important. I think his influence over people and the way they responded to him is not just because of his personality, right? We've had plenty of players in this town who we like their personality and they suck.
Yep.
You know, and we like them for a day and then they're gone or whatever. But he had both of them. And I think that makes him better.
Well, it makes him cooler. It makes him easier to vote for and to love forever. It doesn't change the player he was. It doesn't. I mean, it adds to his lore. I don't think it changes the player he was. 215-592-9494. Sam is in Haddonfield. What's up, Sam?
What's up, guys?
Sam, what's up?
Yeah. So I think... I just think your opinion on this is a little off base because, I mean, Embiid, how many years has he played more than 50 in his career so far?
How many times has he played more than 50 games in his career? What, twice,
twice.
Maybe? Yeah.
And you would assume this year.
Right. And I think your answer is more based on what you think Embiid's future will come out to, whereas I believe if you look at the question, who has a better resume? And I don't think you can argue Embiid has a better resume than Allen Iverson has.
But I think he's a better player. Like that, like the way I looked at it was, and it's just like we all have different ways we look at a question or a debate. And my perception was, who's the best Sixers player of the last 20 years? And I think it's Joel Embiid. I think he's a better basketball player.
I mean, Iverson has 3 scoring titles since 2000.
I know. I mean, he's a great scorer. But I think Joel Embiid is a better overall basketball player.
He may be, maybe 5 years from now, might be able to say that. I mean, I think he's a great talent. I just don't think he's there yet.
And look, I think most people are on that page with you, Sam. I just, like, and we appreciate the phone call. Why do we have to wait on players when you realize someone's better? Like, that's the part I've always wondered. Like, if you think a guy's better, why do you have to wait to say it? He's not going to become a worse player. He may just not accomplish as much.
No, he could become a worse player. Well, there are a lot of players. You know, there is a player in this town who you talked a lot about,
right?
Who had a really good season and then followed it up with, I don't know, a pretty good season and then another pretty good season and then an outright bad season.
Historically bad.
Historically bad, one would say. I don't know. And it is possible that you don't keep it up. Part of being great is keeping it up.
I agree with that. But what are the odds? Like, it doesn't happen often. Like, Joel Embiid might fall off, and 3 years from now, I might be out of the league. But, like, he's not going to become a markedly worse player. That doesn't
happen. Derrick Rose did.
Injury.
Well, it could happen.
Yeah,
it would
happen.
Make him not as good.
How long do you have to wait then to say, this player I'm watching for X amount of years, he's better at basketball than that guy was for that many years?
I don't know. At least more than 20 games or so.
Oh, so okay. So if he gets the MVP this year, is it over? Can I have it? No.
I would say it becomes, we can actually have the conversation.
Okay. All right, let's grab Kay, and then we have to talk about the second half schedule. What's up, Kay?
Hey, what's up, man? Long time, man. As far as the Iverson and the Embiid thing, I got to say it's part generational, but, you know, it's Allen Iverson just had an opportunity to make a bigger mark, crossing over Jordan, going against Kobe in the finals and Shaq. So it's, you know, to a certain generation, Iverson is just bigger. And I was in the Braves and Tech Club as well. And, you know, when you had LeBron said it, he said, when growing up, I didn't want to be Jordan. I wanted to be Iverson. So, but that's, like you said, it's an icon player thing. But, again, Allen had a immediate impact from the beginning. And B, he had an impact, but we start winning when Ben came. But I think he does have the opportunity to end up being a better Sixer. But right now, it's still AI all day.
And that's fair. And that icon status and the way people felt about him, that's the big difference. And Kay, we appreciate the call. Spike, I wonder how much of the we have to wait on Joel thing is that, like, from day one, Iverson started to make people excited. But
yeah.
Joel was a slow process.
Like, it took a couple of years.
Yeah. I wonder how much that plays into it. Like, perception of AI was, like, off the bat, wow, we got a player, we got a team, this is great. And Joel, it's been a slow burn, and some people didn't even agree with the way it all played out to get him here anyway.
I think that's part of it. I also think there is a little part of it that Embiid's doing this without anybody in the building to watch it. Can you imagine
that's a good point.
What the city would be like if there were 19,000 people chanting MVP when he hit a big shot with 3 minutes left in a big game.
Especially,
you know,
that stretch where it was basically 30 or 35 or 50, like every night for whatever it was, for 10 games or so.
Yeah, I think part of that, if those images would, you know, like LeBron right now is fraudulently the MVP leader, and I don't know that would be the case. I think if there were images of the crowd going nuts while Embiid hit those shots, I think Embiid would actually have shorter MVP odds, believe it or not.
Yeah, the funny part of the ironic part is both of these guys, Embiid now, AI then, they fed off of that. Like,
yeah.
Almost more than any players I can remember the last 20 years. Like, if I were to make a list of, like, the 5 or 10 players that fed off the crowd the most, those two are both on it. Like, they loved it. Joel now and obviously AI then. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. All right, it's Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio. This week we had the Levi's, the WIP Awards, and Joel Embiid lost to Allen Iverson. AI was voted as the best Sixers player last 20 years by an overwhelming margin, and I disagree. I'd give my vote to Joel Embiid. How about you guys? Spike thinks I'm crazy on this. And we get back, a couple things we'll hit on. One, the 76ers second half schedule is out, so we'll touch on that and what it looks like. And the All-Star voting from yesterday. I wonder what Spike has to say about Ben Simmons, who last week didn't want to give credit for turning the corner, now makes another All-Star game.
Wow, another meaningless game.
There it is. All right, yeah. We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Right, to Ricky Sanchez Radio, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin, as we talk about the Levi's here, 94 WIP Awards, Allen Iverson named the best Sixers player of the last 20 years by a gigantic margin. I think Joel Embiid not only deserves more votes, but he got mine, and I thought he should have won it. So we have that to discuss. And also, Spike, the second-half Sixers schedule is out here. I guess they have, what, 36 games in that second half they're going to have? Every team's going to try to get to 72 games. And we were looking at it before the show. There is it's a soft ending, but there's a spot in, I'd say, beginning of April that is quite difficult.
Yeah.
They have a lot there.
Well, is it the end of March or beginning of April, the West Coast trip, where they go Golden State, then the Lakers, yep, then the Clippers, then what's the fourth one? Oh, Denver, I think it was.
I think it's Denver.
All in a row. And it's just day after day after day after day after day. It's either every other day or a back-to-back. It's going to be – here's going to be the most interesting thing of the second half of the Sixers schedule to me is at some point – I said cart before the horse. The rubber is going to meet the road on Embiid MVP or Embiid top shape for the playoffs, because that's a lot of games in a small amount of time. And if they really, really, really want him in tip top shape for the playoffs, he's going to have to take a bunch of those games off. Not a ton, but he's going to have to take some of those games off.
Kind of like Shaquille O'Neal with the Lakers. He used to kind of rev it back up when it was time to rev it back up.
And I think that's the one, truly, and I'm not saying this to, I'm not saying it as a joke to slag LeBron. There's no statistical argument for LeBron over Embiid at this point, aside from games played. And people think about that. And if they go into the end of the season, that's why LeBron's playing every game. If the season finishes and LeBron's played every game and Joel has missed 13 games or something,
LeBron's going to win it.
LeBron's going to win it. And I want him to win MVP. If that's what he wants, I want him to win MVP. But looking at how compressed that schedule is, you just got to think he's got to take some of those games off.
I agree with that. I mean, the most important thing is he's healthy and himself for the playoffs, because that's all that matters. So the schedule is out. We'll see how it plays out. They do play Milwaukee three times. They don't play Milwaukee at all in this first half, obviously, but they play Milwaukee three times in the second half, and it's one of those 2-1 things where they'll play them once here, and then I think back-to-back games sometime in late April. They play in Milwaukee twice, so the first time they see the Bucks will be late April twice. In Milwaukee. So that's a challenge there. 215-592-9494. What to watch for here, sponsored by Xfinity, the fastest internet in Philadelphia, and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. The other thing that happened, well, just last night, was the All-Star Reserves were announced.
Mm.
So Tobias Harris did not make it, which I'm fine with. People call him a snub. He's been very good this year, but like, I don't watch Tobias and it screams All-Star. He's a good player, and he's having a nice year.
We were talking on the podcast last night. Also, Tobias is not the most fun All-Star player in history. I personally would have had him over Simmons, but I also don't think there's much of an argument to have Tobias over any of the players that made it, you know, including Julius Randle. Everyone sort of had the same numbers. But what's Tobias going to do in the All-Star game? Like, shoot a 17-footer? Like, come
hang
on,
out,
what are we gonna do?
Yeah. Get a rebound and pass it to somebody else.
Yeah.
But Ben Simmons did make the All-Star game.
So I bet he's excited. Now he can go back to scoring 12 points a game, I guess.
So now is your chance to acknowledge that as an All-Star again, he continues to turn the corner here, which you would not acknowledge last week. Three All-Star games in a row now?
All-Star game. I don't care about All-Star games. I care about him continuing the production that he had prior to last night. Now, I think, what do you have, 15 points last night?
Yeah.
It's fine. He doesn't have to score a ton of points every night. But we cannot say Ben's turned a corner, and we cannot celebrate this offensive explosion if it does not continue. And you have to admit, deep down, you don't have to say you're for sure you think this, but you have to admit, it is kind of interesting how it happened right before the All-Star game was announced. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. At least had to go through your mind. So all I'm saying is, quite possible I was wrong. It's quite possible Ben's turning a corner and has realized that the point of basketball is to put the ball through the hoop. If he has realized that and he is turning the corner, I will admit I was wrong. I didn't think that's what was happening. But still has to continue to happen.
Well, I agree it has to continue. As far as does any part of me think that this resurgence or surge from Ben had to do with making the All-Star game? Yeah, I mean, I almost all of me believes that. It doesn't mean two things could be true at the same time. He could be turning a corner mentally, the free throw line stuff and getting there and making more shots. But the idea that it happened around the time it happened, I don't think there's much of a coincidence there. Like he knows when, like, you know that phrase, like, people know when the camera's on them.
Uh-huh.
Ben knows when the lights are on, you know, for things like this, for awards, for accolades, for All-Star trips. He knows. He gets it.
I think the one thing that you can attribute to it is making his free throws.
Yes, which is a big deal.
Right. So if he's just deciding to make his free throws, he didn't do that before.
Well, that's ridiculous.
That would be an enormous problem. But he did. There was an interview on the Sixers Twitter with Ben, and they were like, what does being an All-Star mean? And he goes, well, being a three-time All-Star. And I was like, oh, boy.
Just wait till it's four or five. He's never going to shut up about it. That's all we're going to hear.
Here we go. A lot of times people say they hope they're wrong and they're lying.
Most times people say that they're lying.
It would be excellent if he turned out to be this fantastic offensive player that just it turned it on in the middle of a season. It would be excellent. I would have no problem being wrong in that case. But I do not think we've seen enough stretches of really good offensive play from him at different times and we had an emailer of the podcast last night that said, you know, both Ben and Joel have had season or career highs in points over the last week and a half.
Right, 50 and the 42.
Yeah, both came without the other guy in the game. So
it all circles back to the fit with each other thing.
It's just, you know, the question is how can Ben pick his spots enough while Embiid is on the court to do those things offensively? Because they don't really work if Embiid is there a lot of the time. So do they trust Ben as the small ball five playing with a bunch of shooters to score enough to keep those lineups above water to be able to, you know, to still show that he's able to do that?
It's amazing that, I mean, they've played together for a while now, and yet still it's still a touch and go to try to figure out the best way to make it work. Our last thing we'll hit on tonight, and does this potentially torpedo my argument that Joel is over Iverson? Potentially, but I want to get your thought on it.
You're not a Sky. You just want the truth.
I just want the truth. Are you at all worried is probably too strong of a word, but the last couple games, I feel like Joel has been, since the 50-point game, right, the two Raptor games, not as impressive. I think it's the first time in a while he's had back-to-back games of less than 10 field goals. Like, he just hasn't dominated the game the last two games against Toronto, like he has most of the season, including Friday night with the 50 points. And are you worried at all? Like, did you see anything, or were these just two kind of off games?
So I think it was about how, I think finally, we always used to talk about how it was Marc Gasol who gave Joel Embiid trouble.
With the Raptors.
It's clearly what they're doing stylistically. They doubled him. Now, they didn't do that as much last year, but that Raptors team is so disciplined and frenetic at the same time defensively. And they doubled him so quickly and so relentlessly that I think he just lost concentration and was exhausted. Now, in that first game, I actually thought he played pretty well. Yeah, he just missed shots.
He got to 25, too, at the end. 25 or 26 the first game, I think.
And here's something that's a writer, Rice, Ricky Sanchez, Andrew Underberger mentioned that seems impossible to even think about. So he's a bad offensive game in the first game against Toronto. He scores 25 points. He has a bad offensive game in the second game against Toronto. I think he scores 18. Joel Embiid scored 0 points in a game last year.
Against Toronto.
Which seems impossible because he just had two games and averaged 24 a game or 23 a game for the two.
Yeah.
I think the good thing is that Embiid still continues to get to the free throw line. I think he will I think it's good that they saw this because I think other teams are going to try to do this to him. I think he has to. The first game was about other players making shots.
Right.
The second game, I think he got sloppy. I think that concentration level needs to stay high. Not every team is capable of doing what the Raptors did, but they're going to see those teams in the playoffs. So I'm not concerned. I'm glad they saw it, but they definitely have to tighten it up because I think it was a little less about Embiid being good, a little more about a way of attacking.
Yeah, and the good thing is they won at least one of the games, right? Because there's been games this year where if he doesn't score 35, close to 40, they just can't win the game. They won two games where he wasn't at his most dominant. So that's a good thing. So I guess we'll end this hour by us agreeing that we can't put the cart before the horse here on this season, or Embiid, or the schedule, or any of this. Is
Look,
that
that's
it?
That's how the cookie crumbles, Joe.
How many cliches can we throw into 1 hour? We missed any? I think we've had most of the big ones.
Oh, I got a lot. Sports, man. We just got to take it one game at a time here.
Yes, we do. We'll take it one right to Ricky Sanchez at a time. We'll do this again next week. And I don't know what we'll talk about next week, but the trade deadline is coming up in, what, 3 weeks, a month?
March 25th. So we have a solid month before the trade deadline. Okay. We have the All-Star break and then the trade deadline.
All right. So we'll get to all of that, and we'll discuss as the Sixers season moves along. We know the second half schedule, and now we know that the Sixers – I'm going to be in this, maybe for Kyle Lowry and a big trade. So we'll talk about it. Spike, thank you for being here, and maybe soon you'll realize Joel is just better than Allen Iverson.
I can't believe you turned me into an anti-Joel guy.
You know what? I was wondering how long it would take for it to happen. By me praising Joel, you had to do it.
Had to. Somebody had to.
All right, we'll talk soon. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.